to order the meeting for KBJ Economic Development. And I apologize, I do have a cold, so I will keep my distance. Believe we have a quorum. That's good. And sorry, I thought they were coming in. Guess not. So we have some guests today. And so if we would like to go around the room, we can introduce ourselves and also you as well. And that would be wonderful.
We'll start with myself.
We'll start with you.
Okay. Claudia Todd, Joker First, Baldwin Mountain Civic Center.
Carrie Avesetz, I like long walks on the beach. No. Joker First, Claudia's assistant.
Brooks McRae with the State Fire Marshal's Office. I'm the Fire Code Inspector for Johnson County, Sheridan County, and Cook County. Let's skip it there. Yeah, it makes for a long drive for a day.
I'm Wendy Smith with Sheridan College.
John DeMattis,
Mary Plank, board member.
Kristen Dubilar, Johnson County Tourism Association.
Shane Trader, City of Buffalo, board member.
Zach Smith, board member.
Ooh, Kate
Honest,
37
Net Radio. And Shan Edwards, board member and chair currently. So what we wanted to do, if it's okay with everybody else, is that we would move the discussion with, is it Brooke?
Yes, ma'am, Brooke.
To the beginning here so that he can cover a couple things for us and then get on his way if he would like and stick around with us. So we'll just go ahead and turn that over to you. And I don't know if, Claudia, if you want to do a quick intro and let us know why we're doing this today.
Sure. Well, thank you for coming, Brooks.
Sure.
We're working with the fire marshal on and off for a while, and I wanted him here so you guys hear directly from him and get us some help. So in order to do a little more with that east wing of the building, we've got to have our fire panel updated. It is currently not in the shape or any form to do anything. So if we want any people in here to have it safe, we've got to have an update. And we're working with a fire marshal and a company out of Sheridan called Comtronics, that are actually helping us not to do a big, huge thing just for the east wing, not for the entire building. And Brooks comes in to tell us how many people we can have or not with the new fire panel, and he can elaborate to that. So here you go.
There we go. I've been working with Claudia. And if you guys have worked with the state fire marshals, they are the entity that oversees the county. There's not home rule here, so you don't have a fire marshal or anything like that. So when it comes to building code, all that, there's all kinds of rules and regulations that everybody looks at and goes, you know, agrees with, disagrees with. One thing our company or our position is good with is it strictly goes on life safety. If there were to be an occurrence, if there would be a big issue, something were to happen, how can we mitigate that the best and control that? Because history has shown that when some of these codes aren't in play, and there is chaos or there is an event that happens, it's a substantial big event. And it's not when there's going to be an emergency, how. It's always when. I mean, if there wasn't an emergency, we wouldn't have an ambulance service, we wouldn't have a fire service. It happens. It's human nature. Events will happen, mistakes will be made. So I try to do the best that I can interpreting the code to keep that to a standard that if that happens, liability is held where it is. We look at it as a bad moment, a learning part in history, anything, any of you want to look at it, but we gave the best chance, you know, for the situation to come out how it's going to be. So as buildings go on, old structures weren't as big of a deal. They were, you know, your cotton clothes, your heavy timber, that's great. That stuff was, it burned well in your fireplace or burned well entirely, but it took time. Everything now, everything in this room is synthetic. It goes up like that. I mean, just looking at it, it will, if you throw a match on this carpet, odds are it'll probably spread to this whole room within a matter of minutes if you have your back to it. And then it off gases, cyanide gas, everything that's synthetic turns to a cyanide gas. So that's what gets you is the smoke. And then you go down. So again, where I'm working with Claudia is we have the school system here that used to be Clear Creek, which I went to school in, so I'm very familiar with it. A lot of memories here. But anytime you change it or it goes away, you're changing that occupancy. And every occupancy classification has a different code, different standards. So assemblies are going to be different from businesses. Businesses are different from education. Education, if you build a building to that standard, is the highest that it can be. So it's the most preventative. So anytime we're trying to use a facility and bring education back to it, meaning 12th grade and under, basically anybody that's not a legal adult, that's a fine line. You guys can understand, you know, they don't get to make those choices. It's the people overseeing that make that and the responsibility. So the system that they have back in the day was worked, you know, but since we've changed the occupancy and it's gone to businesses and everything that, and we want to bring back, you know, it's a good school. You can bring the school system back in, but there are some steps to take because we need to get to where those current standards are. That way, if there is an emergency, the children, the teachers are notified properly. They can exit the building in the right manner. I mean, even exit doors are built to a certain width because it allows so many amount of people and so many amount of seconds out that specific door. So there's a standard behind it, a math theory behind it all. But there is ways to change. The building has great potential to continue and help the community. We just have to go about it the right way to bring it back up to standard. And where Claudia and these guys are at is they want to, from what I understand, want to bring West. I apologize, bouncing between about 10 counties. They switch my names and all that fun stuff. New West wants to come in. It'd be great. It's a great facility for them. They have room to grow into it. Now, this building's a little bit more, I got to get outside the box a little bit because technically within one building, you're allowed so many people per square footage. So West wants to come in and they only have 30 kids. Doesn't matter. That number does play into rule, but what really plays into rule is how many people can we fit in that area? I mean, to keep just 30 people, you'd have to show up every day. You go one, two, three, done. You know, realistically, are you going to be able to control that at all times? No. So we go by the standard of how big the room is. The one thing, the fire system needs to be brought back up to monitor. I activated it one day when I came in checking it out. It goes nowhere. It didn't notify the police department, fire department, nobody. It's just, that's it. It's just hey, I hear something going off. Whoever's going to first get on their cell phone. Automatically, that needs to be brought back up. That's any building that has a fire alarm. It always has to be monitored. That way, the emergency personnel comes as quick as possible. Two, when we get into the numbers, it's got the manual pull station. So, meaning when you pull that, it's got strobe lights and horns. You know, the good old rah, rah, get out of the building. Everybody knows that sound, okay? That will cover, that is good up to 100 people. All right? But that's that number of 100 people. Now, if we add in the square footage of where New West wants to come in, those three rooms plus the kitchen and then there's a daycare over here being used. That's the square footage that I need. So I have to separate the building up. So that's where it gets a little technical, but I'm within my means to do that because we would keep those kids located just to that area. So we're sectioning up this building. So you can run businesses, which numbers are less stringent, have more people like your gymnasium, stuff like that, events there. Those numbers are going to be a lot higher. But I guess in short, where your numbers have to be, it's manual pull is up to 100. Anything over 100 has to go to voice saying, there's a fire in the building, please exit the building. Is it as dramatic? No, I don't know the theory behind it other than when I hear somebody talking, my calmness is a lot lower because it's not the strobes flashing, it's not emergency, you're more like, oh, okay, we need to exit the building, and then everybody formally exits instead of a panic. That is covered at 100 up to 300. When we pass that 300 mark for education, we have to go back to sprinklers. No ifs, ands, or buts. But for what they're trying to accomplish and build slowly, it's not like you have to take a big chunk out of the building and say, we've got to put a sprinkler system in this. I would love it. It's awesome. It's safer. I also understand affordability, financials, and what that would cost to do in a building. To bring in the school, it does need to be monitored, and it does need to be voice. Now, voice is going to cover that square footage. It may be only bringing in 50 kids in that wing, but that square footage now will be covered up to 300 people potentially. Those rooms are either going to be full because of New West, the the kitchen program that they have and the daycare that's here. So that suffices. So I guess you have to take into consideration the building, the potential, where you want to take it. I mean, if it seems like a great structure, it has a lot of room to grow, it is going to take some time to bring it up to certain standards. And again, for school, education is the highest. We need to bring it up to that to bring the school back in. But on a good note of having the school here, I assume it would be more steady, it would be more long-term, so it's kind of an area that would be able to fill the spaces in a longer goal and maintain that, because there will be room to grow for a little while. If you want to branch off, we can always extend that fire alarm system into another branch and then kind of keep slowly expanding so it's not such a hit, if that's the way the direction that Bomber Civic Center wants to go or maintain. So there's options there. But at where we're at, that's the system we need to have education classification back in this school. Even if it was a school prior, again, we walked away from it, so it kind of gave it a clean slate. It's kind of like rebuilding your house. You got it out, you got to bring it up to code because of new standards. Everything's just, technology's better, and again, we need to improve life safety. So I know that's a lot of information.
Can I ask a quick clarifying question?
Yeah.
It's cumulative, right? It's not like, just this is just for my own clarification. It's not like if you put a sprinkler system in there, then you don't have to do the other two. You have to, you have to have...
If you put a sprinkler system in, you don't have to have voice.
No.
If you go straight to the top,
the monitoring one has to happen.
The monitoring voice has to happen.
Yeah.
If water's flowing, it needs to tell somebody in Buffalo, hey, we have water flow here, we have an alarm, go check it out.
Yeah.
Even if you have nobody's here and the water breaks in the middle of the night, you don't want to flood the school out. Something needs to notify that there's
so you need that. But
yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if
there is a couple steps you can break, but the numbers and the cost to do it change significantly. So it's not too bad. You have manual. We do need to get it monitored, so there is an expense there. It's an old system. I mean, the guy that came and looked at it said he was surprised. Most of it didn't work. He almost didn't know how to work on it because it had changed so much. But
they don't have transistor tubes
anymore. No, don't have that anymore. But again, lots of potential. I'll support whatever. I've been helping these guys go with it, but I want to go about it the right way, because if that stuff's avoided, if I find a lot of businesses that, it's not going to happen. Well, they did have an emergency, okay? It is now, is the newer times, the newest society. We are a sue-happy society. You know, and it's not by fault. It's not because somebody's trying to be mean. But if there's a fatality, if there's an injury, they only have so much that they're going to be able to fork over to medical expenses. And all of us know that medical expenses are through the roof right now. So at some point, an attorney will get a hold of it, and all they're going to go is, well, you got hurt in this building, okay, was this in place? And the moment that you go, nope, then the expenses are really going to fly, because then whoever's building is, he can't possibly be held accountable for those losses, damages, or not being able to work, or loss of a death, anything like that. So I'm really here for the community, the people, yes, safety to the utmost, but keeping liability where it needs to stay. But if there's anything I can answer, please ask away, or Claudia has my number, so if there's any questions down the way, I'm always in Buffalo. I live in Sheridan, but pretty much most of my work's over here. That's pretty much all I want to throw out for a lot of information overload at once, but just something to think about.
Thanks for the information.
Yeah. I guess I do have a question. For what we're doing today, knowing that New West, that's something that we would like to do, but for what we're doing today, that sounds to me like the upgrade to the panel, the monitor is required.
It is.
That is guaranteed.
Required. We need to take care of that, because this building is pretty much inefficient without any of that, even at any code. There's an alarm system in play, has been in play. You can never take one away. So it needs to be maintained, and for the safety of everybody.
So that alarm system only covers that part of the building, it does not come over here? I'm trying to figure out, does that panel cover the whole building or only over
there? It's kind of a hodgepodge. It's kind of stopped in some areas. This building is a little easier on this side because every room has direct exit out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, the priority isn't as bad.
Right.
Again, it is working for the building, but only it doesn't go anywhere.
Right. But the system, if we put in just the panel, it would cover just from the daycare over, or would it cover, would it actually tie into this side? I'm just trying to logistically.
I have to look real quick and see if there's a pull station down this way.
Okay, that's
this
what
building,
I was.
I've walked this building quite a few times, but I haven't been like to top to bottom.
Sure.
What you're looking for is a smoke detector on the ceiling, or you know, a manual pull station at one of the exits.
Mm-hmm.
If there is one, yes, this building should tie over there. I would have thought they would have tied it to the rest of it.
Would have thought.
I've seen a lot through the years.
Well, there's one in the hallway, right there.
Right here.
In our hallway.
In your hallway, I know there is.
Hallway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's one down here, then yes, it ties.
Okay.
And I know there's some upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Those do need repair. You can have businesses up there. Again, those numbers are so much. It's 500 people. If
so
we started seeing.
What's
that?
Because we have a pull station.
Okay. Then yes, it covers the whole building.
Okay.
It'll activate throughout. If somebody pulls that. There's only a couple places that there's smoke, like actual detectors, the main corridors, main hallways. They're very few.
Mm-hmm.
But the pull station, yes.
Okay.
It's just the voice prompt that's going to just be on the east.
Yeah.
Right. But in terms, so if we go to that, then that would just be over there. But then
for the as of now, we need to be monitored.
Right.
But it's one of those things that you put in the station for it to be monitored.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of you don't have to. It's cost effective. If you're thinking about doing the voice, to do the voice at the same time, because the hardware, the wiring is all kind of got to be there, then have to bring somebody back in if you think you're going to go that route. So you can break them apart. We can just get it monitored. As far as I know, I'm.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be more on Comtronics and Marv's side.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the higher priorities, is to get that at least monitored and then where you want to go. But if you're thinking about it, I don't think it was a too much more higher expense to actually get it voice to just that area. Because then that will cover that wing for any education that you want to do.
Right
now you're limited.
Right.
It's got the cooking. And with the daycare over here, you're maxed.
Right.
You can't do anything else until that voice, for education-wise, until
but
that
if we
voice
monitor and do voice, we're up to 300, and we're not restricted in the use, in terms of up to 300 for education.
For the area that in that voice
in
is
the,
only
right,
in that area.
Right, for over
area.
There. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
that it's a lot cost-effective to just do it in the area you want to do it,
mm-hmm.
instead of the whole building. I think it brought the cost down substantially.
Yes, it did.
But room to branch off if you continue.
That's what I was, so we can always... add.
You can always improve.
But we can really just look at what we need.
The basics.
And then go from there. As our priorities change and get more clearly defined, we could do more.
Yeah, in the board package, I put that Comtronics
the estimate.
Estimate proposal.
And as I understood it, this is for the panel, no enunciation, no voice. So the voice would be in addition, we'd have to get
right.
Something
and he's working on it. He is.
So it's coming?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a lot to go over.
And he at least, just on this other side, he pointed me into in a direction to go to Casper to a rapid fire. And off the bat, they came back with a proposal of $75,000. And I said, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is too much. We got to break this down. What do we need to do to just do that side for right now, to keep it that way? And Comtronics out of Sheridan, he's an older gentleman, but the nice thing about it is he knows the new system and also the old. The young kids, they want to just put a new digital thing in there and be done. And so I found this guy who actually worked with us kind of several times and checked things out. So I'm kind of cool that we found a person that kind of at least want to work with us,
mm-hmm.
because some people don't want to work with these old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. So anyways, I'm actually very, and he was supposed to be here today, but he didn't make it. He said he will come to the next meeting or anything if you guys have any questions. He's a wonderful person to work with and can answer any question as far as the panel itself goes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would suggest, maybe you've already done this, but you know, the I would certainly, like, especially if there's this cost for just the monitoring that is required, okay, fine, you know, but then there's this cost in order to accommodate New West. I would certainly recommend reaching out to Superintendent Oskey and or whomever he would designate at the school district, because they may have a whole different type of a fund or funding available to maybe, you know, help either partially cover or, you know, whatever, you
right.
know. Anyway, like, it almost goes without saying, but I think it's important because they would be for that.
Right. There would obviously, yes, our conversations would also have to
yeah.
go much further than where they're at right now.
Right.
And true, it would be a true partnership. We would be looking for additional resources from them, too, to help
yeah.
contribute
yeah,
to meet that. So, yeah, all good thoughts. Okay. Any other questions?
Is that something we can vote on, or...
I wonder if we should get that number on the voice. I think we need the number on the difference
okay.
to do the voice
okay.
before we pull the, any trigger
okay.
to know before
okay.
we don't want a misstep.
Okay.
And I think we do need to have our conversation where we're doing some prioritizing of projects and our the initiatives going forward. So, and I think all of that can come together potentially. So let's do that before
okay.
we make any motion or
okay.
make any take any action today.
Have we started talking rent rates with
mm-hmm.
them?
We have
talked about a agreement.
Yes, we're talking about a 5-year commitment,
mm-hmm.
but 3 to 5 years with the New West School. I have reached out several times. There are still interested in it, but we haven't heard, you know, there's nothing. I think they want to get the school over with here pretty soon. And once these kids are out of school, I think that's when they made the decision last year to come around. But we're in conversation with them. But I told them also, I said, you know, we would like to, we don't have a problem leaning out the window and helping, but in return, we would need something, an MOU of some sort. And he absolutely agreed with that. But I touch base with him. We're busy, he's busy, so we're trying to get together to kind of getting a little closer with that conversation.
And he is?
He is Mike Hansen, the principal, the principal of New West High School. And then he is we had a conversation with Charles Oskey, who is not against that at all. It just hasn't happened yet. I think they had their priorities. They had an audit at the school. They were busy with that kind of stuff. It was kind of, you know, this guy's hard to reach. So I'm talking mostly with Mike Hansen. And, you know, they want to come here just because of the location. They can't expand. They are full. They cannot keep any more people. With COVID hitting, more and more people would like to not go to high school and go to the school. In the 2 years or 3 years he has done this now, people approaching him for what a fantastic job he does. So it has turned around a little bit. So we're working on that, but I have nothing definite for sure that I can report back. But there's the interest, and I keep working on that. So. But this is something we need to do first, no matter what. So either way, it has to happen.
And this is something I work on, we truly work on with every business. I know you won't get it done right away, but small steps and moving forward is always pro. And if we're making that, I can at least help in that area and,
mm-hmm.
and do that.
Appreciate
but
that.
The monitor system, that's across the board with anybody in Johnson County. Anybody that has that monitoring system that's old, outdated, and they're current in it, whether it's education or it's not, I've been bringing those back up to current standards.
Sounds good. Any other questions for this topic? Okay. Well, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. Sorry I
no,
put a little hiccup in your guys' deal.
No, 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 we're good.
Sleep and then over back over to UCross, and I don't know where I'm at. So.
Thanks.
You have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. You folks have a great
thank
weekend.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. We have the minutes to approve. They were in your packets that were emailed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Wonderful. Next is the financials. Again, in your packet, and I'm going to apologize again for those being so late. I think we had a misunderstanding, so we are correcting that. And these will, in the future, be out to everybody separate from the board packet by the 15th of the month so that you will have them in time. I mean, I didn't even have enough time to dive into those as much as I would have liked to. So we're gonna make sure that that's much more clear so that we get those early and get them out to the board early. And so they will come separate from your board packets next time, so just be aware of that, and it will be by the 15th. So I didn't have a lot of questions about them. The only thing that I felt was missing was I do like the check detail. I like the ledgers fine. It shows everything, and that's all well and good, but I do like to have a separate check detail. So it's one more report. On, you know, you can read the ledger if you like and go through the whole thing, but I do like the emphasis on just looking at the checks and what's been paid. And I think that it's real easy to print that out now from our office as well. So if there is anything else that anyone would like to see, we can print these reports, and we can get you whatever else that you would like to see in a different detail if you like that. So was there any questions, comments, concerns? We went over this.
Quite a bit of difference this year to last year in some of those line items.
Is there an example?
Is there a breakdown of repair supplies? I think that was quite a bit bigger.
Repairs
and maintenance, I'm sorry.
But yeah, I think we're at 48,000. I actually printed us a report. I can send that to just a maintenance report to show where all those expenses are going.
It might have to do with the East Wing, too, where we did some improvements there. If that's
And I do.
I mean, it truly, I believe, is because we bought stoves.
Right.
And the carpet.
I think that's what Rick was saying before, is that he thinks that stuff went into repairs and maintenance instead of maybe a separate line item for improvement, and he thinks it all got lumped in. But sure, there should be a piece of cake to get a detail of that. And on the supplies, is that what you were saying on the supplies?
I was just noticing places where it looked like there was a pretty significant difference. One was cleaning, and I think that that's.
So
last year,
Sharon College was for 1 year. They paid for their cleaning. Then we took it back over. Then we expanded over into the kitchen, the East Wing, and we added cleaning there. So we have two contractors now that clean for us. One does the East Wing, which is about $500, $600 a month,
mm-hmm.
and then the current contract with Leora is $1,800.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do remember that, but not a little bit. I was just trying to look at all the places that were significantly different. Repairs and maintenance is a big one.
Mm-hmm. And I believe we are still waiting for some reimbursements. 1% reimbursements or anything like that. Was that invoices or anything that is there anything
oh,
out there?
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I
think okay.
Went on some time this week.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? And I would accept a motion to accept the financial report.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any
aye.
Opposed? And that passes. Thank you very much. Staff reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You got this in your folder, the long list. But I have three things I would like to address today, besides the stuff. One positive thing happens. Bo Powell, as you all know, is in the downstairs. We call him the Dungeon Master. He's our IT guy when we need him, and also he has expanded into a new endeavor with that freeze-drying food. I want to give you an update because it's kind of a fun part of the thing. And Mayor Schrader wanted some fun today, so I'm
this is so fun.
Get the music going.
So he's in our office quite often, but the point is, so and he started, we got the kitchen downstairs certified in December, and January started selling his products. He has, as of right now, 50 states that he has sold his products. He's working on larger quantities, like for the preppers of the world, and has some mixes and stuff like this. He came to the Wellness Day on Saturday, and now after, he purchased a piece of property that was he could not get access to easement to it. He got this done. He's going to build some greenhouses and put some his own whatever garden on. But also we're allowed to say that the Food Network has approached him to come here. So we can't say more of that, but it's really exciting. They might come here at some point, and also featuring Bummer Mountain, so we're super psyched for that. And
Food
kind
Network,
of
the TV,
the
channel.
So several times now they're in conversation. This week supposedly is the decision when they're coming. So we're somewhere on the map there. So it's kind of cool to have this guy down there, and we really work great together. So this is one of the updates I wanted to share. The other thing was Leadership Wyoming is coming to an end. On the 5th of May, we have graduation in Sheridan, and I persuaded the director of this organization to bring the leaders on Wednesday. I don't know if you knew that or not. You do? Okay. Probably not. bring them to Buffalo, and so they gave us the opportunity on Wednesday afternoon or depending on when people show up. They come from all of the state, right? They come from Lyman, they come from Rock Springs, Lander, you name it. But so in order, when they all trickle in, we bring them into Bummer Mountain. That's a central place, and Carrie and I were cooking sandwiches and soups, homemade. And then once they trickle in and they're done here, we offer an optional tour of the Mountain Meadow Wall, another small little manufacturer, and then we're going to our house. A lot of my classmates said, this is a great class, but there was nothing about our Wyoming heritage. Well, the German, I love the horses, and I thought we could do a little horsemanship session in the round pen and maybe have some people catch a horse and see how they do with the leadership as far as standing in front of a big animal. And this is not for the ranchers of the crowd. It is for the people that have no idea. And just for a couple hours, play a little bit. And we actually wanted to put Mandy on the spot and make her do this because she's not into this. So we'll see how that goes. And by 4:30, we're traveling all to Sheridan.
I'm trying to waver ahead of time.
And we have a little reception in Sheridan, and then it goes to Sheridan Fridays, the graduation. Philanthropy is our big subject. Just want to let you know this is coming to an end, but I was able to capture hopefully some people and come here in the afternoon, which I think is pretty cool. That's another positive thing. So the third one, not so positive, but still needs to be addressed, I think. I'm working with Adams Furniture and a company out of Sheridan, Sheridan Floor to Ceiling Company, We do need a new carpet in the hallway coming into the south entrance. I don't know if you've seen how much it has worked. Adam has fixed it, I don't know how many times, cut it off, glued it back together, and every time you have these heavy casters coming from the sideway hallway and bring it in the large gym, it's worked and worked. Well, there's older ladies that trip over it all the time. It's a big hazard. I have two estimates here. Adler's has done a phenomenal job with those three little offices and worked with them before. One estimate with tile flooring would be carpet tiles, comes to $7,943. That was an estimate they said. It goes from the front door all the way towards the Sheridan College where the first door is and a little bit in the sideways. So we have something in the wintertime, not non-slipping. That's the only reason we do it. Otherwise, we would probably do vinyl of some sort.
I think, personally, I'd be the guy to get rid of the carpet, put the vinyl down, and then do some rubber mats.
Right. And we could do that, but it's probably going to be the same amount. And then the other one is $7,391 from Sheridan, from the Sheridan folks. I'd like to rather work with the local people, even though they're maybe a little more. But I can get an estimate for vinyl flooring if that's what everybody wants. But I can tell you, in the wintertime, with the wet boots, it's going
to
be...
Well, you have to put something on it. But the nice thing about that is those can be easily replaced, where when the carpet's done, you've got to...
You take the tiles out that are no good anymore.
These are carpet tiles.
Yeah. That's just the same thing. That's the same thing. If that carpet tile is no good anymore, you get extras. If they're bad, which I like when people... They mess up a lot as far as soups or anything that spills, then you can take the kaya tile out and put it in.
That's what we've gone to at the college in all of our buildings now. Yes. These carpet tiles.
And I think they put these in at First Northern.
Mm-hmm.
You can see
it's
them there.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Every commercial.
You don't see a problem. They have a bubble guy in it with a...
Oh, but they're, you plan to take them out.
Except that we're going to carpet the entire vinyl area in the wintertime, like with replaceable carpet. I mean, and I almost tripped one week when I left your office.
Well, is there something I can go ahead and do this, or do you want? How are you gonna feel about it? It won't be. I think more. It will be probably on the same level. We got to do something there. I've done it now. I don't know, for 6 years, kind of.
What were those entrance carpets we bought? They were like 300 each.
If you do six of them, you are $1,500, $1,200 into the
movable carpets.
But again, we have to remember the casters have to go over those things too.
Right.
And they are heavy.
The carpet's going to reduce a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Well, it really will catch a lot of the dirt because people don't seem to stomp it.
In the summer, it's not an issue at all. It's the winter time when people come in with the dirty boots and who knows what. And lots of, so. And that was actually what I'd like to get accomplished at some point.
I don't have any problem with her moving forward with that. If anybody else has any comments, I don't know that we need to vote on it.
Okay.
Part of the repairs and maintenance.
Just one of them,
If that's okay with everybody, and we'll just move forward.
You,
and
you
bet.
I'm sure it's
Okay, well, thank you.
Sounds good. What else have you got?
You guys have it all here. We're working on things, as you know. There's a golf tournament from the Sheridan College that I attended, and I'd like to maybe have Wendy talk a little bit about that. The enrolled agent, I thought that was a really neat thing. That I have this in my report too. Would be cool for a 1 year program, but I let her talk.
If you want to do that now instead of at the end?
Doesn't matter. Thank you, Madam Chair and everyone. Yeah, the Sheridan College Advisory Board got a really nice presentation about one of our three new certificates that are coming, and it's an accounting, it's called an enrolled agent. And so what it is a series of six courses that you can take. Three of them we already have in the books. It's things like, business law, QuickBooks, you know, for accounting and a basic accounting class. And then there are three new courses. It's all about taxes. Basically, what you are learning, the first course is about individual taxes, the second course is about business taxes, the third course is about everything else taxes. And at the end of that curriculum, you should be prepared, if you choose, to sit for the exams offered by the IRS to become an IRS certified enrolled agent, which gives you the ability to work with directly with the IRS on behalf of yourself or your client. So it's, you know, you don't have to be a CPA, you know, there's this whole body of work and lots of jobs. The statistics that were shared with us in that presentation were staggering regarding the number of accountants and CPAs that are retiring. You know, it's another one of those career fields where we're just seeing fewer and fewer going into that. And so this is six classes, and you could be on your way, you know, in this new direction. So it's really exciting. Classes will be on the books starting this fall. And the other two, one of the programs is CDL, but it's not called CDL anymore. It's called CML, Commercial Motor Vehicle, CMV. And then the other one has to do with becoming an inspector for USDA certified inspector of meat labs and things like that for places that want to process meat. So, yeah, thank you for that.
There was one more thing that I thought was very interesting. 400,000 CPAs left their jobs, and that's why they came up with this.
Cool.
I thought that was really interesting to hear. So there's an absolute need for it. And I thought that was neat that the college picked up on that and said, we'll try to do something about it.
I like it.
That was really neat.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
For old business, that handbook should be to you guys here soon. It'll also come before the next board meeting, so you'll all have a chance to look through that real quickly and as much time as you like. It's kind of dry reading. Finally got through it, got all of the changes made. I just wanted to look through it one more time before I sent it out in case I have a glaring miss. There may be some things in that handbook that are not relevant. Some of it I put in A, some of it is still in there because it doesn't hurt anything to be in there, but I just, you know, you guys can take a peek at that and when I get it sent out. So new business, the workshop update to me, which is the most exciting part of today's meeting. We actually met twice. We met the first time, which was the meeting that was scheduled through here at our last board meeting, and then we met again after we had gathered for that. We decided we needed to spend a little bit more time going over some things that were talked about, expand on those things, and so that's what we did. And what came out of that, I got a few things that I want to talk about in terms of what I think came out of that meeting, I guess. And then hopefully those that were here will have some comments, too, to share. So the first thing that we talked about, which was, of course, one of the big reasons we were meeting, was the bylaws. And over the last, I've lost track of how long, it's kept coming up, and we've talked about that, about do we need to do something with the bylaws, do we not need to do something with the bylaws. And so we had a good representation of the board at this meeting. We had a great conversation. And I have some notes here. I just want to make sure I don't miss something. And again, I want to ask those that have been here to also expand a little bit on it. What we came up with was, in the end of the conversation, was the bylaws that we have, and when they were created, there isn't anything that we haven't been able to do as a board. There were, of course, some bigger projects early on in the earlier years, but what those bylaws seemed to do as part of our conversation was provided the opportunity without that restriction. So they're, yes, they seem kind of wide-scoped and sweeping, but at the same time, it provided lots of opportunities. So whatever it is that we were looking at doing and what those folks that actually put those together at the time, it provided us some guidance and some structure and some things to think about, you know, as we were putting together our programs and activities and goals through this group. The consensus after those discussions were that rather than changing the bylaws was to actually think of it more as our responsibility to those bylaws, our duty to those bylaws. And although there's always a chance that we may want to do something with those in the future, for right now, it seems more appropriate that we embrace those bylaws, think about more what we can do working towards reaching some of those goals and incorporating those ideas into what we're doing on a regular basis. So it's quite the opposite. It's more about maybe recommitting to those and saying this is what we're reaching for. There's nothing in those that is, or I should say, there's very little in there that says you must do it like this in this way. Rather than, it's more that there's an opportunity for us to really think about what our community needs, what we like as a board, and what we hear from folks in the community and what they want, and being able to do those things because the bylaws allow it, rather than the other way. And I think a good example of, you know, of something that we were thinking about doing, and I'm so glad we didn't, was taking KC out. Because, you know, that had vision and thought and a reason and a purpose for having them as part of that. And I think we just need to work harder. We need to figure out a way to do that better, not exclude and step away and make any changes there. So I think we need to maybe have more focus in thinking of our bylaws as also guidance and how we can do a better job. So any thoughts from anyone or those that were at the meeting and then those conversations?
I think my comment was, if it isn't broke, let's not fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's working for us, and let's just continue with it. Just as you said, maybe let it lead us to something new.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know we have a quorum today. I guess I do want to ask if there are any more thoughts or concerns that they're expressed, because I would like to ask for a motion to recommit to those bylaws so we can stop bringing that up to the table quite so often. We can put that to rest and work more proactively with those. So are there any other concerns with the bylaws?
Well, I think we created some guidelines, or we started working towards developing some guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
yep.
That's where we're
at. I bet that's number two.
Okay.
Yep, that's number two.
So I make a motion that we recommit to the current bylaws as they stand.
I second.
Thank you, John and Mary. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That motion carries. And I appreciate it. So the next thing that we wanted to talk about is, and I have a handout. So we talked about, well, planning is a word that gets thrown around a lot. So we talked about planning and what does that look like for us, and what have we done or not done, and how do we want to see that moving forward. And so we had some really great conversations. We talked about several things that we've been doing. Wendy got up. We got some stuff on the board. We had some concepts and ideas. I'm not going to say extremely. This is just draft, and it may change and get massaged around and look maybe a little different in the end. But for right now, for setting some initiatives and really thinking about what it is that we're focused on and what we're doing and helping the board focus, I guess. But one of the important things, too, is to provide, you know, guidance and proactive thinking towards what we want to see in the future and setting some priorities. So in the center there, the four initiatives, there are many more that could be on there. We're just trying to hone in on a few things. So this doesn't mean that it covers everything that we do every day. It doesn't mean it's covers or dictates, you know, what's happening or not happening in the office and with the staff, but it's to help provide overarching guidance, like I said, and these lists may grow. And also it may not touch things that are actually happening that are also very, very important. So I don't want anyone to think that this is the beginning and the end of what's happening with JOCO First.
The idea was to get everything down on one page, mm-hmm. so look at one sheet and yep. have a good idea of priorities and focus.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be a working document that's, you know, updated and changed.
Absolutely.
That we hopefully check off.
Yeah, we would hope. So yeah, so so really it became a conversation about working on defining, you know, what is our initiatives, what are the things that we're doing. We wanted to articulate the priorities that are coming from the board and the things that we wanted to work on and achieve. And so moving forward, we have set up another workshop where we'll actually continue to, or at that time we want to add to these lists, add to these things, but also at that time rank them and prioritize them so that we can truly focus and be proactive and forward thinking. It's important that we get things like this, I think, in place. We've kind of talked around and made some stabs in the past, but now as a board, the group that's been meeting with the workshop, it's been really great. So we're finally getting something down on paper, and John's been working and doing that piece for us, which has been wonderful. And that's what we want to do, is make sure that the board is aware that on May 17th we'll have another workshop, 8:00 in the morning, just a couple hours. Any thoughts, additions, or any of that can be sent to John, and he'll add to the list that's on here, the lists. But at that time, we really want to have a pretty solid discussion about prioritizing these things and ranking them and figuring out, so that then on the agenda, which is the next thing about what happened at the workshop, is two things. One is adding a section. It would come, I think when I met with the staff, we talked about after new business, there will be a section for the initiative updates. So the board will spend more time talking about what we're doing and what we're working towards. And so for the facilities, workforce development, business development, and infrastructure and partnering, those will be those initiatives. And under each one of those, there may be one or two priority areas that we are consciously working on. Now, it doesn't mean we're not working on all of these things, but those are the things that we're going to bring to light at the meeting and talk about and discuss and make sure that the whole board is engaged and on target with what we're doing in those areas. So hopefully it will improve engagement and participation in not just planning these things, but actually helping them work along. So it seems pretty exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to everyone else. But the next thing that we changed, not really changed, but with the agenda, is that, and we talked about this quite a bit at the meeting, is, and I've already visited with staff, is that the staff report you get in your reports and you can read. If you have questions, please present those questions. But we're going to focus more on what's coming, the exciting things that are happening, the things that are being planned for. If they have questions and concerns and things that they're trying to make decisions on, like the things they brought today, but we'll focus more on those things from the staff report's perspective in terms of what's being talked about, but we'll have the written reports. And so those may become more, a little bit more, because there may be more that they want to share that they're maybe aren't going to verbalize at the meeting, But please, if you have questions or concerns even on that stuff, you know, it's a great time to bring it up. But what we're going to do is try to save some time in some areas so that we can have more time to do some of these other things and updates on the initiative piece. So please, I hope everyone can come on the 17th. We'll get formally contact the rest of the board that is not present today to make sure that they can come. And hopefully that'll work for everyone's schedule. And again, those that were here, comments, thoughts, anything you want to share? Sure.
So, like under business development or where's his BNCC, do you want us then to maybe interject during the update of this priorities some of these things that we do, like, you know, bringing the Small Business Development Center here for the workshop, for the social media? I mean, or is that not the same?
What do you mean, bring? Put to talk about them coming.
Well, you have
in your reports to me.
Yeah, do we ever present that stuff, or we just stick to the few requests we have?
When you guys are presenting, if you have something that's being planned and that it, to share that you're planning and working on, I mean, you can still share those things.
Like the fact that we've invited Workforce Services to have office hours here now.
Right.
Like we didn't mention that today, but is that something we should have mentioned?
You know, I think we're just going to have to do this as we go
as we go.
See what works. But no, it is exciting, and that is an exciting development. You know, and those of you that have been here in Buffalo long enough, back in the late 90s, very early 2000s, the Department of Employment, it was called, used to have an office here. And they were up at the Veterans Home, and they provided resources, of course, direct, worked one-on-one with folks. And at that time, during there's a period in there, they decided to downsize and close several offices across the state, and ours was one of them. And at the time, and I'd like to share this, the Community Resource Center, which, of course, I started back in 1998, was very involved with working with Department of Employment and Barbara Hall in making sure that the people of the community here still got job lists, still were able to have access to forms to file for unemployment. We did not have internet. We did not have access, and there was a lot of isolation and a lot of fear about how am I going to get to Sheridan? I don't have any money, and now you're going to make me go to Sheridan to sign up. You know, it was just very scary at the time for people, but, you know, did the best we could. Had forms, had people coming in looking for jobs. And in working closely with them, you know, tried to make sure that the gap was filled because it seemed pretty sudden. Now they're looking at coming back, and guess where they want to be? You guys want to elaborate?
Well, I reached out to them and just I wanted to understand some of their grants and initiatives and internships, and I spoke with I think Pam was one woman, and I forget his name right now. But either way, I just said to them, why aren't you coming to Buffalo anymore?
That's the one I send you guys.
Mm-hmm. And I said, so why don't you have a presence here in Buffalo anymore? And they said, well, we did at one time, and, you know, we had a long, lengthy discussion, and they came up with, we don't have office space. I said, oh, yeah, you do. I said, I have plenty of office space, but, you know. And we have it, you know, it's still a little murky. I don't know if they're just come and have appointments and meet people and do some, you know, walking of town and introducing themselves that way. But they want to come twice a month on Wednesdays for a few hours. And I think trial-wise, you know, I'll just give them a little space maybe in the band room to conduct their appointments or a secluded area if they need it. We haven't discussed, are you renting space? Are you locking things up? It's kind of a loose arrangement right now, but I think it's very beneficial, and they're willing to come next month too to just show the board, if you know, as long as you're interested, what services they do actually offer. And I think as all of you are in business of some sort, it's a really good, valuable piece of information to know what they do
for employers and
employees. I mean, it covers both.
It has evolved, of course, over the years, just as everything else, and of course now.
And
it's
they
not
have a lot of the training, like even mm-hmm. for Superior. I think Gary would definitely benefit from talking to them. And there's a lot of that, training to hire.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be pretty great if they would have a presence back down in the area. That would be pretty great.
So we have to see our office if anybody is interested in this.
And I think we're going to continue with the Small Business Development Center, too. Mm-hmm. We're already talking about a second workshop, mm-hmm. where it's more hands-on. They're going to do step-by-step.
Good, too. That's great. Any other thoughts about this process? Hopefully folks will, the rest of the board will be able to come to the next workshop and we'll be able to get some more of this worked out. And then, of course, it can trickle down to an action plan at that point, and we can begin to check those things off. So
I wouldn't mind cross-referencing that a little bit with what Mary had sent out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that website. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. If anybody,
pretty good stuff on there. I don't know if we got to look at it, but some of it was overlap, and some was a little mm-hmm. different.
Yeah.
That was a pretty extensive website.
Yep.
Check it out.
Rick sent a comment to everyone as well. Mm-hmm. He really liked it as well and thought it was something that we should really take a look at and see what pieces of that might work really well for us. I know you guys have worked tagged in that as well, so mm-hmm. take a peek.
Mm-hmm. We printed it.
I don't have a specific proposal or anything yet.
Right.
It's interesting.
I liked that they had the highway update, their road update that they're doing. And I thought, oh, man, that's front and center, because, you know, that's going to be a huge impact for our area when that starts. And, you know, that they had that right on there, front and center.
Done a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think those are the kind of things we work out in the workshop. You know, mm-hmm. something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, update the whole priority list.
Yeah.
We need to add sections or mm-hmm. delete sections.
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody on the same page.
Yeah. I think this is fantastic. I think it's great work. I think it ends. You know, I mean, it seems like the question is, well, what do we do, and are we doing it? Are we doing the, you know, the right things? And I think this is mm-hmm. the answers to that lie in here. And especially if you're able to get just kind of one step further, which is what actions do we want to try to take this year? What actions do we want to plan for next year? You know, mm-hmm. those are the kind of things. When I go back to the work that was done by another subcommittee, in consultation with Brandy Harlow from the Wyoming Business Council and Robert Briggs from CEDA over in Sheridan, the Sheridan Education and Economic Development Authority, you know, I just pulled up that document. You know, that was kind of a dream of, hey, we could pay someone to create this, to do all of this. That's another document that we could look at against this it's really encouraging. It's not exact, right? It's not an apples to apples kind of thing, but many of the things on that list that were desires of this group are kind of beginning to be accomplished with this work, with these discussions. And so that's another thing that we can look against in a workshop, just to see, because there's just full of ideas as well. Just, oh, but what about this? Some of them the county is accomplishing, some of them the city is accomplishing. Right. So it's really encouraging.
That's great.
Nice job.
That is great. So, yeah, thank you, everybody who's been coming, and I hope we'll see more folks there, because it's a great opportunity to talk through some of these things that we just don't have time at our board meeting once a month. So, anyway, the last thing I just wanted to say is I think that a lot of this, everybody can have a different vision, and sometimes it makes it a little hard. And people have different ideas of where they think we should be going and the direction and where we're at. But I think truly that, and it's on there, we talked about building partnerships with purpose. That's important. None of us can do it alone. We got to work together. We got to figure out what our space is and also, you know, how is it that we work with others and what is it that we do, what is it that they do, and make sure that we're working towards for our goals, but it's the whole community's goals. I mean, it's everybody working together. So really thinking about that, just, I guess, more broadly than just exactly what it is that maybe we might like, you know, personally, but what really serves the bigger purpose. I think that as a result of a lot of this too, we'll see opportunities to build more skills within the board, which I think will do nothing but serve us better. I think that growing our resources, whether it's financial resources, I think by becoming more intentful, we can then begin to identify the things that we do need to seek funds for and figure out how we're going to do that. So when we're putting together our priorities and what we need, we'll know what we need, and we can do better at planning and making sure that we can actually do these things and not just talk about them or think that they're just things that are out there for someone else to do. So I really believe that this process will help support those things. Go ahead.
I think part of what we discussed with building with purpose was, I love that, the partnership with purpose was to get the city and the county mm-hmm. on board with, hey, here's our mm-hmm. vision. You know, because if we do need funding, that's where it's been coming from traditionally. You know, is everybody on board with it? You know, or is this a too high a mark, or do we need to be down here, or, you know, where do we need to be? So.
Or if we do need to seek external funds or whatever, we know that. But at least if we can be on the same page, I think that goes a long way with knowing what we should be working on and potentially what we shouldn't. But at the same time, this process, I think, is going to benefit not just us, but all those that we also work with. So there was more that we talked about, but I think we should probably wrap that up and move on. If no one else has any questions or comments, concerns at this time, we'll move on to public comment. Do you have any updates today?
I do, Shant. You all heard the name Destination Optimization Program from Jody Sowers, I think, a couple months ago. When I joined 3 months ago, I was tasked with compiling a spreadsheet of 176, it came up to 176, attractions and businesses in Johnson County who cater to this job. 176. I did not include the doctors, the lawyers, the bookkeepers, etc., because they're kind of not people that a visitor would seek out. This program, we got involved with this program through Miles Partnership, which you probably all recognize that name. They're one of the marketing groups that works very closely with the Wyoming Office of Tourism. Wyoming Office of Tourism supported this program for us to the tune of 70%, so it wasn't a very expensive program. We received the audit back. Their team literally went and took that spreadsheet and did the research to determine ultimately how those businesses and attractions were being found by people who searched, like all of us, Google. Google Travel, Google, regular Google. And they gave us a very detailed feedback on all of these businesses and attractions. The number one most important thing that I've learned, and I'm working with every single one of these folks, is that many businesses and attractions do not have their Google business profile claimed or verified. In other words, Google put it out there based on public information, an address, a phone number, maybe even link the website. However, the business owner or the entity that runs Heritage Plains Park, for instance, needs to claim and verify that listing in order to move forward, upload photos onto that profile, so that when people search for, I want to go walking in a park in Johnson County or Buffalo, Wyoming, Heritage Plains pops up, and they get more exposure that way. It's all free. It's all free, but I have over 50 businesses and attractions that have not claimed or verified their Google business profile. So my big challenge is I'm knocking on doors for the last week and a half. There are businesses that are missing one aspect, occasionally a phone number. Obviously, many businesses in our community do not have websites, and they're not going to get them. We understand that. So we can't necessarily get to 100% in Google's eyes because people aren't going to have a website. But they have a phone, they have the address, and they have their hours. Hours are very, very important to visitors. They want to know when a business or an attraction is open and closed. And if you don't report that information, they get mad. I've learned. Anyway, next Monday, a tourism professional marketing person is coming into Buffalo. We're doing a seminar from 9 to 10:30 with a half hour for questions. I've been inviting all of these folks, of course, concentrating mostly on the businesses right now. The attractions are going to take some time because th- there's boards who are the entities that have to find that information on Google and update it and all of that. But we're trying to get the word out. The whole goal here is the Wyoming Office of Tourism wants businesses to make sure that they are maximizing the potential to be found by the people that are planning to travel and visit Johnson County. And it's a job. It's not a hard job. One thing I will say is that Google, because they're Google, has decided that any entity, any business or attraction that has at least 102 photos representing their business or attraction is going to get bumped up.
So load in.
Load in photos.
Just make it the same one now.
You can't load photos if you don't clearly verify your business, FYI. There might be four or five photos on there. One of them is usually the photo from the guy in the van with the 360 camera that went around town, 8 years ago and took a picture in the front of your facade of your building, which probably doesn't look the same today. So there's room for updates on that. But it's your phone. Just go out and take pictures of your building, you know, and you can upload those.
Where is this going to be held?
Library, Fraley Room, that's the south end of the library, from 9 to 10:30 on Monday morning.
Is that May 1st yet?
Or May 1st. It's Monday, May 1st, yeah. The gentleman can stick around for about a half an hour, but then he's on to either Sheridan or Gillette for another seminar to another group. But it's going to be an ongoing thing. They even have a link that my businesses, all of our businesses and entities can contact and have a one-on-one, what they're calling office hours, to coach them through how to fix their profile. And they'll discuss Yelp and TripAdvisor entries as well. So it's just a wonderful service. We have the service of Through Miles Partnership through August 31st of this summer. So this is something I'll be working on, contacting businesses and trying to sit down. I've worked with a couple already on a one-to-one. It's not rocket science. It's really easy to go in and claim and verify a business. And I can't upload photos for them. They have to do that because they own that listing. So, yeah, that's a big challenge. The other thing I want to mention is Jody Sowers and Anita Peoples are in Boise right now at the Rocky Mountain International Roundup, meeting with 40-some tour operators from New York. And I think yesterday was the day that they did their presentations to all of these folks, and they'll both be back at the end of the week, and I'm sure that Jody will want to report on that next month.
Cool. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So we forgot to mention that we were in works with Bo Fowler after Truami gave us their estimate for the kiosk and the progressive web app. And we were meeting with him. I started to talk to him a little bit more about what this progressive web app would take. He says, you know, like it's really extensive. You're talking about quite a bit then, and I said, well, what about a QR code that takes people to our community calendar with links to the city map, downloadable via PDF, of course, and the trails map, and then another link to Johnson County Tourism Association. Wouldn't that show visitors everything they basically need to do? So he got us this app. It comes with analytics, so we're knowing how many people are scanning it. Claudia is doing her professional laminating. And we will take this all over town. We're asking that it goes into a visible window. It's pretty visible from the road. We've already seen a couple out there. But basically, it's took our cost down to Bo's time, which was about an hour. And now we have something 24/7 until we can progress along and hopefully discuss a possibility of a kiosk for next season.
This is phase one.
This is phase one. This is
just
season
to
one.
Have mm-hmm. something for people to 24 hours.
Yeah, I want to.
We brought that's this. Perfect. We can give you some. We have some laminated.
Be interesting to see how many people hit it. I think that you might be surprised.
Yeah,
it's for locals too. It's our community calendar. So
That's what comes up when you take the photo. Community calendar.
It takes you to that website, which has the links to everything else.
Bomber Mountains.
No, the community calendar website.
I did it, and it worked. I have never done
that's
it.
That's what I'm putting.
Oh, really? Well, now you are trained. See, we're building skills.
We were thinking for the people that 24/7, not always everybody is there.
Yeah.
all over town. It doesn't cost much. It's phase one. See how it works. We brought some to Casey yesterday when we came from Casper.
I'm begging everybody.
See how that doesn't entail a lot.
And it goes on the computer, drop the county price.
Ultimately, we would like to see a kiosk here that 24/7 in a high traffic area that can be
accessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this is a great. This is great. First step. Gosh, and people are maybe not so much in Buffalo, but across the country, QR codes are huge. They're huge. Yeah. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Good updates there. I have something also I wanted to bring attention to. We have a few people that board terms are expiring in June. So we either need to have conversations about recommitment. Zach.
We can have a conversation about that.
Perfect. And then also we can see what the status is of the rest of those. But there's four, I believe, that are coming up. Is that correct?
It's on the agenda items on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Except mine renewed last year. That information there is incorrect.
Okay.
For 3 years.
So it's 24, June 24.
It should be 3 years from actually last June.
22 plus 3 is 25.
Yeah, it should be 25.
Okay.
Yeah, so it looks like we've got Rick and... Zach and Josh. So we have three coming up. So we can talk more about that and prospects if we need to. The other thing I wanted to encourage everyone is if you haven't or if you have time or think about visiting the staff, I'm sure they'll have always, and they always do, exciting updates of things that they're working on. And they love to see the board in their office. So that's just something to always remember when we have spare time. Check in and visit with those guys. I want to add another announcement. We added announcements to the agenda. If you didn't notice, that's new. May 10th is our board training from 11 to 3. We do not currently have enough people signed up for that to have that training. So we need to know if you're planning to attend. Great. Please get with Carrie and get on the list. If you have access to another board or anyone else that might be interested in attending, please let them know, because currently we do not.
Not me. I can't speak for any of my board members, but I did see Casey England last night, and she said that all their board members are asked to plan to attend. Mm-hmm. So you might want to follow up with her, including her as the administrator.
Casey Rodriguez, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, we followed up. We've already discussed with them, but they told me three people, so I don't know. When did you last see her?
Last night, about 6 o'clock.
Oh, cool. Maybe it's changed.
Maybe they've changed. Because I can't speak for my board. Yeah. I do not know what
they're doing. Okay. Well, that's just so we know. We do have a minimum threshold we have to meet, and we have not met it.
We're not even half, yeah.
Yeah, so we need to work a little harder at getting the word out on that, and
does
if you know anyone.
Put it out through the county or the city? For the
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than they're probably tired of hearing me.
Yeah, they've been working closely with Jody Telkamp to make sure that information got dispersed and whatnot. So yes, the May 10th is the training, the 17th is the workshop, and then the next board meeting is the 24th. And as I had said at the workshop, I said I didn't mean to have 3 weeks in a row of JOCO. I apologize, it seems a little much, but hopefully that's temporary. And important stuff. Anything else?
I have one more thing.
Okay.
Well, that's when we don't say what we do, but yesterday we had the opportunity to present. We had to go to Casper, and we presented in front of the WACO board, Wyoming Association of County Officials. We presented something we would like to have a conference here. It entails about 275 people for 3 days, Tuesday coming in, setting up, Wednesday having their conference here, including some of the rooms, whatever, anything we can give them, large gym, small gym, all of it. And then Thursday one more time, and then they leave, and they have some kind of a icebreaker session off-site someplace else, which we can manage. We quoted them with the caterers and everything else. We both sat there with them. They were really open to it. We said, we're not the little America as in Cheyenne, but we have a can-do attitude, and we'd love to have you here. They were really positive, asked a lot of questions, and then we found out at the end, we were almost getting out, that this was not just for 1 year. They said, we thought we're talking 2024, 2025, either one of those. No, it's both. If we're getting them here and convince them to come, it would be for 2025 as well. 275 people for 3 days, 24, 25. So
nice.
We did what we could. I talked very closely with Carla Bishop at the commissioner at the county, because she has attended those, and she knows the director of the Waco, Barb, whatever her name was, and anyways, that was very exciting. So we had that interview yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and then on the way back, we kind of dropped all these QR codes off, and anyways, in KC, but that was exciting too. We're trying to get people here for 3 days and swag bags, and that's another thing I bought since, you know, the chamber had bags always. And I thought, why don't we do this? Since I'm involved with Wyoming Leadership, we have these little swag bags. I bought a bunch of bags to make it cheaper and not making it so big. We're going to get little, what do you call
stickers.
It? Stickers. And put them on the bags rather than have it on the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can put our stuff, our brochures that we have created mm-hmm. over the years and put them in, at least for the Buffalo portion. And that would be going for those kind of
right.
Big events. Anyway, it's very exciting. But we don't know. They're getting a hold of us. So we tried what we could. That was the best we could do. So
I'm pretty sure we're the only ones, though, that brought our own engineering from Mary.
I brought yours that you made at one point. Remember Nelson Engineering? We had this there. This is how the building looks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny. That's
so,
great.
Anyways, that's
cool. Okay.
A little offhand, I'd be interested to know when groups are coming in like that, when we have successes in getting out of towners in, are we collecting data from them afterwards? What did you like about coming to Buffalo and have the facilities? What didn't you like? Are we building on data? Are we collecting that so we can know?
Yeah.
You know, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What do we need to work
right.
on? What
Well, I have created that more as far as in the past when we had the stock growers here and the PEO convention.
Yeah.
More towards our building. Is there anything we could have done better as far as serving you here, that kind of thing. But there's no reason why we can expand on what you like about Buffalo and what more kind of town-wide.
Yeah.
Might be nice to
yep.
get
good
feedback
idea.
And
yep.
use it to our advantage.
And have you done easily
the
politics of Wyoming?
Yeah,
here.
Cool.
You get to know.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome.
Anything else? Not too bad. 9:25.
Mm-hmm.
Motion to adjourn.
So, second.
All in favor?